Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord. Amen. We're glad to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Here at the Acts Church for our, what is it? Not Bible study, but we call it what? Life group. Amen. Amen. So this is Apostle Hicks, and I'm standing in for Dr. Veronica, the pastor and the prophetess of this ministry. We're glad to be with you on today, and we're going to be continuing our discussion about the glory, pursuing the glory of God. Amen. 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 I'm here with these young people. I'm here with some awesome young people, so we're glad that God is in the, that they are in the building, and we're glad that we're here with you. And those who are listening by air, we're glad that you're listening. And we're going to be, again, teaching, continuing our teaching on pursuing the glory of God. We're coming out of the book that was written by Bishop Neil C. Ellis. It is an awesome book. If you want to get it, you can buy it off online. It's called Pursuing the Glory. It's an awesome read, and I think every Christian should get it and understand, so they can understand how to pursue the glory of God and also understand what is the glory of God. And we're going to be talking about that today, really understanding, first of all, what is the glory of God and the purpose of the glory of God in order that we may pursue the glory of God. Amen? And so before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now for allowing us to come into this place and have gathered in thy name. We ask, O Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give our minds and our hearts, our minds, the understanding of your word that is being taught today. Give our hearts, open up our hearts so that we can receive what you are saying to our spirits on today in the name of Jesus. For your word has declared that let he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. And we are the church, Father, and we're asking that you'll open up our spiritual ears, Father, so that we may hear you and understand your word today being taught. In the name of Jesus, we do pray, amen and amen. 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 All right.
What do you say
in
the name of Bishop Neil?
Bishop Neil, N-E-I-L-C, the letter C, Ellis, E-L-L-I-S. The book is Pursuing the Glory. Amen. Pursuing the Glory. So we thank God for that, and we're here. Again, if you want to get that, it's a good book. It's a great read. It's not a lot of pages. It is only 166 pages. That's not bad. That's not bad. But it's a great read, amen, and I think it will help you, it will help the Christian to grow spiritually, amen. Well, last week we talked about the glory. Anybody understanding the glory of God? Anybody want to have a good memory to tell us about what we talked about last week? You told you. Makai, what did you tell your mom? You told her something. You forgot. Adam? The first man? You don't remember? Oh, Adam, Lord. You remember? You got to talk to everybody that can hear you. Makai? Okay, you can't. Well, we're going to come back to you. Brittany, you remember anything? You took some great notes. Give us a review.
Rebecca was against God. The devil trying to take away God's glory. God
understand, yeah, okay. Well, the clothes we wear, what do we say about the clothes we wear?
At some places you can't sit next to somebody if they're white or black or
Yeah, and, well, no, now that's not what we believe, but we're saying how some other people believe. We got to clarify that. We're on the air. We're on the air now. We're on the air. No, but right, we were saying how some traditional churches go, you know, they always want to judge you by the clothes that you wear, the color of your skin, you know, the length of your hair, you know, get the clothes and if you're male or female, you know, and who you're dating and all of that type of stuff, and they make a big issue out of that, and it's really not, and sometimes, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God, has nothing to do with God's glory in our life, amen. Yes, we ought to wear things decently in order. I agree with that 100%. In other words, you can't, you know, when we say decently in order, just like it would be out of order wearing a suit and jumping in a beach, you know, people looking at you like, is he crazy, you know? If you took what we call a really nice dress with high heels and you go running in the beach, they think you were kind of crazy, right? Like, something wrong with her. And it would be the same instance if you came up here with a two-piece bathing suit for worship, folks like, something's not right. You know, a two-piece tea bag, you know. Some, you know, yeah, all eyes will be staring. You're right, all eyes will be staring. And it would take away from what God is trying to do. Amen. So that's why the Word of God says that anything that we do, let it be done decently and in order. So there's a place for swimming suits. Amen. There's a place for business suits, jeans, whatever the case may be. Amen. And so if I came up here like today, we all dressed casual and we look nice, got on different things. You know, but if I came up here in a space suit, y'all probably think, okay, what's he going to do? So everything has to be done decently and in order. And then again, there are some things that some ministries practice that has nothing to do with anything other than their own prejudices or their own teaching, as we said, or old teaching or error in their teaching. As we said, some churches believe that men and women can't sit next to each other. Some churches believe that you can't cut your hair if you're a woman. Some churches believe that, you know, black and white can't marry, you know, and so on. Some churches really talk about or really come against, you know, whether you're straight, gay, or bi, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that I think God is trying to get us to really see what really matters. And that's the heart of God. And that's where we're at, and that's what I believe today. Some things that I believe today that I did not believe a year ago. And God is showing me a little bit more of himself. God is a God of variety. He's a God of love. Amen? Amen. And so if we don't learn that, we live in a place that we will stay in a place of hate and bigotry. You know, and I choose to believe that hate, it stems from fear. You know, if you can look at it like a big old spider or octopus, the body of, you know, a spider has 8 legs, an octopus has all these many legs or tentacles, whatever they call them. But the body of that is, you know, where it stems from. So I think that when we get all these different, views or outcomes of bigotry and fighting, all that, a lot of that comes from fear, you know. And then, you know, the body of that is fear. So we're afraid that if I agree with you, if I love you and you're this color, you're going to rub off me. You know, a bunch of crazy stuff. A lot of people are in fear. You know, sometimes they fear things they don't understand. Yeah. Even when it comes back, when we're coming out of slavery, I'm sad to say a lot of Caucasian people, or people period, feared the black race because they didn't understand them. So long as they kept us under their control, they were like, okay, we can control that so we don't have to fear them. But as soon as we got free, it's like, oh, what are they going to do to us? You know, and it's the same thing. You know, when people start experiencing freedom, it's a great thing, but some people's freedom is other people's fear. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to, you know, it's crazy. So I don't want to go there. But a lot of those things can stop the church from experiencing the totality or God's glory at all. God's glory does not operate in hate. God's glory does not operate in anger and bigotry and all of that type of ungodliness. So if you really want to pursue or have the glory of God in our midst, you have to, first of all, learn how to love. You may not agree with me 100%, but I still love you, you know. So that's the bottom line. And because the Word of God says, for God so what? loved the world. There you go. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should what? Should not perish. There you go. Whosoever believeth. That's the basic, that's the bottom line. You have to believe. And once you believe, the Holy Spirit begins to do the rest of the work. But many times, we want to do the work that the Holy Spirit desires to do. And because we want people to change, because sometimes we're afraid of them. We don't understand them. Well, hello. Get over it. But God is a good God, amen? So you're right. The glory of God does not and will not operate in a vessel of hate. You know, hate is not of God. Love is of God. And everything that God does, it spins on the axis of love. Amen? On the axis of love. All right. Okay. So I really want to pick up where we left off. And it says, but what does it mean to live with the glory? When you live with the glory, which is the presence of God dominates your life. Okay? That's simple, plain and simple. When you live with the glory of God, that means his presence, his spirit is dominating. Anybody know what dominating means? Anybody?
Take over.
There you go. It's taking over your life completely. So that means it takes over your thoughts. Is that right? It takes over your will. It dominates. You know, when a team dominates, you know, when we're playing basketball, right now I really am praying for those who are listening to me. I want you to get on one accord. We're praying that LeBron James, you know, that their team wins. I said we got to be on one accord now. But nevertheless, but you know what I'm saying? When a team dominates, what do we mean when a team dominates? In other words, they just took over the game. They left the other team in the dust. You know, they got majority of the points. It really wasn't a game. You know, it's the same thing. So when the Spirit of the Lord dominates our lives, that means, I thank you for that. Micah. Lord Jesus, Micah and Macon. I know Adam, but I know. Thank you, Micah, for that. Micah, you said it right. That means he dominates. That means he takes over. That dominate means he takes over. He takes control. That means he takes over our minds. We let the Holy Spirit take our thoughts. The scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Now, one thing we have to understand, that our Heavenly Father is a gentleman. He's not going to come in and just rough you up and say, listen here. You better do what I tell you. You better let me take over. He wants us to yield to him. Amen. He wants us to yield our way and say, Lord, just take over. Have your way. You know, we've seen that song, have your way. You know, have your way. So we want God to have his way. That means we're yielding control. And we're letting him take the control. We said that last week, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, so that's what it means. We want the Holy Spirit to dominate. And when the glory of God is in our lives, that means his presence is dominating our lives. You know, last week we talked about that men ought to always pray. And that doesn't mean you walk into school always speaking in tongues and every time somebody say hello to you, you know, just go off like, okay. If you keep doing that in class, the teacher asks you an answer and you just say, oh, in the name of Jesus, they're going to like, Adam, I need you to go see the office. They want you to answer the question. But when we say men ought to pray, ought to always pray and not faint, that means when you wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. As you're going throughout the day, acknowledge that God is there. That's what the Word of God says. If we acknowledge him in everything that we do, Father, help me learn this. Help me learn the study. Help me in all things that I need to know in school. It doesn't mean just go around your friends, ask how you're doing. You know, you just start going off in tongues. they want to understand you, and then pretty soon they're going to say, all right, we see you later. You sit by yourself at lunch, my friend, or you need to go see the psychologist. But when we pray, we want God, and when we say men ought to always pray, we are remembering God conscious in our conscious mind. He's part of everything that we do. So someone asks you to go do something wrong, you know it's wrong, you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging on you, and that little voice saying, you better not do that. Somebody asks you to skip class, Adam. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Then they say, or to fall asleep in class, and you're like, nah. Or to pass notes in class, no. Because you want to give the respect, you know, to your teachers. You want to honor, you know. Somebody asks you to, you know, throw something at somebody, Makai, You don't want to do that. No, you don't want to do that. Because the Spirit of the Lord is tugging at you. And I'm pretty sure, what was that favorite saying that we have? WWD? WWJ. What would Jesus do? And that's in a sense, may not to always pray. Before you do anything, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus have me to act about this? And if you don't know, it's okay to say, God, what are your thoughts on this? It's as simple as that. Show me, lead me, and guide me. You know, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct that path. Amen. So you're consciously aware of the manifold presence and the power of God. You are always around God. God is always around you. That we feel this air. We came in here, it was hot, but when we turned on the air, we can feel the air surrounding us, and it makes things better. Okay? So it's the same thing. When God is around us and we can feel his presence, it makes things better. And I guarantee you, if you really begin to live with the presence of God, you'll understand when he's not there. Because something, you'll feel like something ain't right. Have you ever been driving or been somewhere or doing something like, oh, this feels really weird. I don't know if I ought to be doing that. You can feel that something's not quite right. That lets you know the Holy Spirit is letting you know, hey, back up, slow your wheel, slow your road, do something. You know, so that's the same thing. When we're living with the presence of God, it makes things better. And we can tell it. You become a walking miracle. You become a walking testimony. When life throws you a curveball, you think that somehow you have stepped out of his presence. You feel lost, or you may feel desperate to return. But when you live with the glory of God, every fiber of your being longs for the presence of God. Even if a curveball is thrown in your life, you don't understand, but you're like, hey, that's all right. God's got it. I don't understand it, you know. That's why there's a scripture that says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In other words, how that scripture comes into play, somebody comes up to you and says, you know what? In 10 days, ma'am, we're jacking your car out. You know, you're not going to have no transportation, or 10 days, Brittany, you're going to be fired, you know. Or they serve you a pink slip on the day and don't give you a notice. You're like, okay, I don't like it, but to God be the glory. God, you take the wheel, you know. And you don't allow, we talked about this last week, we don't allow circumstances and situations to determine our happiness or our peace with God. Because if we do, we're going to be what? Always up and down. One minute we're smiling, one minute we're frowning, one minute we're mad because, as we said last week, we were talking about somebody can always walk right past you. You know, while somebody gives you a compliment, say, oh, Brittany, you look very nice today. You look very beautiful. And then the next minute, you're all on the high, you know, thank you. And the next minute, girl, you think you puke, don't you? You know, you think you all that. That dress is ugly. And then you want to get mad and smack the daylights out of them. But you got to, like, you know what? That's your thought. But you got to know who you are. But if we always are dictated by other people's feelings or thoughts about us, like I said, one minute, oh, Mike, your hair is beautiful, you know, and those braids are gorgeous. The next minute, oh, yeah, gold. Oh, that's just, what's the problem? But you got to do exactly like that. Well, girl, you got to do exactly that. That's your issue. I know I'm fine. It's just shake it, I don't know. And that's how we have to do. Yes, Adam, that's your sister. She looks beautiful. But you gotta know. You gotta know. See, wait a minute, Mike. You can't get upset now. You gotta know who you are. So when we know who we are and we don't live by the opinions of others, it's the same thing. When the glory of God is in our lives and He is surrounding our lives, when situations and circumstances come in our lives and throw us a curveball that we don't like. In Romans, it teaches us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. So we have, though I may not like it, but hey, I'm in God's will. I'm in his presence. I'm around him. He's around me. It's going to work for my good. And that's how, now you're allowing the Holy Spirit, you're allowing the glory of God to dictate, to dominate your life. You're not allowing the circumstances and the situations, though it may throw you a curveball, to say, you're going to be sad today. You know, you're going to be upset today. And you can say, the devil's a lie. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to be up and not down. I'm going to be above only and not beneath. I'm going to be a lender and not a borrower. I'm going to be rich and not live in poverty. Why? Because we understand these are the things that this is the life that the glory of God brings to the sons and daughters of God. So he brings peace. He brings prosperity. Amen? Because these are the things, these are the things of God. God is not a God of sickness. You know, that's not his character. Though sickness comes, he comes to what? Heal. God is not a God who wants us to die in poverty. But so many Christians do, because they don't tap in to what God really wants for us. The scripture says that he would that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Well, prospering is certainly different from poverty. Poverty means you're not prospering. You don't have to live in poverty. You can prosper. You can physically prosper, and you can spiritually prosper. Come on. Just like you prosper in education, that means you're growing, you know, you're learning, you know, you're upgrading yourself. You can do that physically. You can do that financially. These are the things that the Lord will have for us to do. And when we live in the glory of God, it brings those things to us. Amen? So living with the glory means that any day, every day, everywhere, at any time, you are a candidate for the miraculous to unfold. Anybody want to explain the miraculous? What does miraculous mean? What's the root word for miraculous? There you go. That means you are a living miracle. So when you're living with the glory, that means that any day, everywhere, and any time, you are a candidate. In other words, you are chosen for a miracle to happen in your life. Anytime. That means like right now, a miracle just can happen. Just like you're sitting here thinking, and you know, God, I need this and I need that. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you know what? I'm not worried, because the peace of God surpasses all understanding, as I was saying earlier. What that really means when you should be upset and something bad happened, somebody gave you bad news, and it should be disturbing your peace, and you should be all frantic, and, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, the drama queens or the drama kings or whatever the case may be. Instead of acting like that, you're like, oh, okay. People are like, why are you so calm? You know, somebody come and tell you, Brittany, your car just got hit, man. It was in a parking lot, and it's total. Instead of you like, oh, my God, oh, where? Oh, are you kidding me? You're like, okay, calm down. Let's see what's... Okay, God, you look at it. Well, to God be the glory. Thank God for the new car that's on the way. Now, it takes some growth to get there. I'm looking at Brittany like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. But it takes some growth to get there. And when you get there, that's a great place to be, because you have peace even in the midst of a storm. That's what that scripture means, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So this happened to you, a tragedy happened to you, and they're not understanding why you're not reacting like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, oh, well, how am I going to get home and all this stuff? My insurance, this and that, was going to go up. None of that. You're like, God be the glory. God's got it. I mean, that means something great is about to happen. That means now you're letting the glory of God dominate your life, because Adam, God don't want us to be frantic and like worry about, you know, and like, oh man, and you know, become a nervous wreck, and all of a sudden we're chain-smoked. I need to calm my nerves, you know. Nowadays they don't chain smoke, they pot smoke. I can't take it. Or somebody go get a drink. Lord, just take me out. You know, don't act like y'all don't know. You know people that smoke pot. You know, somebody go get a drink. I got to calm my nerves. You know. And even young kids running around getting cigarettes. And nowadays they're getting pot too. You know, or taking a drink. I got to calm my nerves. What nerves? You know, what's going so bad in your life? You're only 10 years old. Got to calm my nerves. But see, when we have the glory of God in our lives, no matter what age we are, we're a candidate for the miraculous to happen. That means God can do something spectacular. Think about a miracle that you need, Adam. Everybody, think about a miracle that you need. Makai, Micah, Brittany, think about a miracle. What miracle do you need God to do in your life right now? And even those who are listening by the airwaves, what miracle? Think about what miracle do you need God to do for you right now? Whether it's financial, okay? Whether it's something going, you know, with your physical, your body, whether it's something going on with you emotionally, spiritual, relationship-wise.
What miracle do you need?
Anybody want to share? You need a job? All right. You need a job. Do you believe God can give you one? Okay. All right. So now you got to say, okay, God, give me the wisdom and the knowledge how to get that job. Have you applied for any? Too many? Okay. Well, then you say, okay, God, pull my name up to the front of the row. I'm going to give you a true story. I was at church and when I was living in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And this shows you about our favor with the Lord and when we're living in his glory. A woman of God, one of the Christians, her husband had got a job, moved to North Carolina. She didn't want to move to North Carolina, but she said, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to follow my husband. You know, I'm making this. She, at that time, she was making $50,000 a year. Pretty good money. You can't separate these. See, that's not what she did. No. She loved her husband. And so she had to give up her job and she followed her husband. And she had talked to her company. Her company said, we can't bring you up there. We can't transfer you up there. We don't have a company up there. Blase, blase. So we love you. So she retired. She left the job. She resigned on good faith and everything. So she came down. And so she came down to Jacksonville. And she was giving this testimony. And when she went to the workforce, she was telling them what they were doing and how much she was making. They said, ma'am, Jacksonville's got a different economy. You're not going to make that much doing that type of work. No, not here in Jacksonville. She said to them, you must don't know my God. So she left out because she wouldn't take, because she knew what she needed. She said, Father, I did what you told me to do, and I'm looking for, you know our income, you know what we need, and I'm trusting you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to settle for less than what I believe that I'm worth. And this was like, probably like almost 10 years ago or more, you know. So now, you know, $50,000 10, 12, 15 years ago, that was a lot of money. You know, still a lot of money today. You know, I mean, that's a good job for somebody that want to have. You know, somebody probably lit somebody away and say, yeah, I take a job of $50,000. Just believe it. God can do it. Amen. Well, anyway, what happened, she said she was waiting on God. All of a sudden, her company called her and told her. And this was like, she had probably been out without a job probably just say a month or two. Okay? Her company called and said, did you find a job there? She said, no. She said, listen, we'll set you up right at your home and we'll back pay you. Wow. See there? She said, we'll back pay you. We'll act as if you never left and you just took an extended vacation and we'll back pay you, blase, blase, and we'll just set you up in your home and you can work for your home making your same salary. Don't tell me that's not God. Amen. You know, she didn't lose no money. So not only did she get the $50,000 job, but she got a job that she always liked, and she was able to do it from home. So now she's saving money, not wasting gas, you know, and she got back pay. And she trusted God. What if she had took that job that they offered her? None of that. And she probably just, you know, but she trusted God. Keep pressing. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah, but you got to keep pressing. You got to keep believing God. You can't settle for less. And many times as young people, we do. Huh? There you go. Say that again, Brittany. Faith without what?
Keep calling these people. They not answering the phone.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, now what do you do? You know what you do now? You pray. You pray and you believe God. That's what I'm saying. You got to. This was the whole lesson about pursuing. When you have the presence of God in your life, when you're living in God's glory, what do we just say? You are a candidate for the miraculous. That means any moment now, Micah, any moment, somebody, see, they could be calling you, they could be looking for you, and say, hey, we've been trying to reach you, you know, can you start tomorrow?
Oh, my God.
Huh? You got a new what? Pray.
Help me in that.
Okay, come on, Makai. We're teaching Bible study. Thank you. So you got to, so you got to understand that God is the God. So now, how often do you pray about it? No, when you pray, what are you doing? Are you thanking God for the job?
Oh, yes, because I got the job already.
There you go. You begin to thank God, say, Lord, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I already have that job. Holy Spirit, move on the hearts of those who where I've applied for, and thank you for giving me favor. Okay? See, and impressing God. But you got to keep God in your forefront every day. Not just because you want something, but you want to live with the glory of God. Because guess what? Once you get that job, there's something, another need may arise. But when you're living with the Holy Presence, when you're living with the presence of God, when you're living with His glory, you're like a walking miracle. You know, can you imagine as you walk, whatever you need just starts to appear, starts to happen, you know. You need money, you need growth, whatever. It just starts coming to you. It starts happening. It starts, things started just making a way. That's part of being that's part of our benefits of being a son and daughter of God and tapping into the glory of God. The glory of God belongs to us who are His children. You know, that's part of what belongs to us. We really need to catch this. That's what belongs to you. It's just like what belongs to Adam. You're part of your family heritage. How would you feel, and if you walked into your mom and dad's house? You live there now, right? Okay? What are some of the things that you think that just automatically ought to come with being a son? Having a place to stay? Having a bed to sleep in? Having food to eat? So how would you feel? Okay, those are the things that you think should come with it. Okay? How would you feel? You walk in a house, there's food in the refrigerator, but it says, not for Adam. And Adam is, see that look you got on your face? Adam's like, the devil is alive. You know, you go home right now, and that bed, the bed says, Adam, this is no longer your bed. You have to sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, that's not nice. But so you would think, and you know you haven't done nothing wrong, you think like, okay, is this a joke, right? You ask your mom, are y'all crazy? Why are y'all putting me on the floor? And why are y'all saying I can't have nothing to eat? Or I can't have nothing to drink? You know, that's part of my privileges as being your son. Okay, so you got to understand the same thing. As a son and daughter of God, part of our privilege, part of our right is to have His glory in our lives. But we have to pursue it. We have to chase after it. We have to go after it. Just like you're pursuing those jobs and pursuing applications, you know, you have to also pursue the glory of God. In other words, you got to put your time, you got to talk to God. You got to say, God, let me experience your glory. Let me be in your presence. Father God, thank you for being in me and I'm in you. You know, and I'm connected to you and you're connected to me. Thank you, God. See, that's pursuing His glory. Let your thoughts pursue the thoughts of God. What is it that God wants? What is your thoughts? What is it that God wants you to think? You got to ask yourself, am I thoughts pleasing to God? Am I thoughts magnifying the presence of God in my life? And my words, what I'm saying, and my actions, what I'm doing, my clothes, what I'm wearing, is it magnifying the presence of God in my life? If not, are you willing to change it so that God's presence can be in your life? Are you willing to change so that the presence of God can be in your life? Because that's what we really want. That's what we really need. That's what's more important. Because the glory of God, the presence of God, is there's nothing more valuable than the presence of God. And you have to see that. If it is God's desire for the body of Christ as an individual as well as collectively to be the abiding place for His presence. As Christians, as temples of the living God, which is us, when we say the temple of the living God, we know we're talking about us. We're the temple, not this building. Okay, but we are, our bodies, our minds, our very being is the temple of the living God. As keepers of faith, it is God's desire that our bodies become the abiding place for His presence. That means it is God's will, it is His utmost desire that He live in us, that He is in us and we are in Him. He is the branch, we are the He is the vine, we are the branches, He is the tree, you know. We are the branches, and we should be abiding in Him. And if the branches disconnect from the tree, we're good for nothing but to be collected and gathered and thrown in the fire. You know, any branch that we see out there, you know, when a storm comes here in Florida and it blows those branches off those trees, what's soon to happen to those branches? They'll break, they get dried up, and they brittle, and it's good for nothing but a piece of stick. They break them off, and because it's dried up, because it's not connected.
to the tree, which is its life source. We are the branches. Our Heavenly Father is the tree, and we're connected to Him. He feeds us. And then when He feeds us, what do those branches do? They produce leaves. And those leaves produce fruit. Some of them are fruit trees. And so that's how our lives ought to be. And those fruit trees provide food for people who pick them, provide nourishment. That's how we ought to be. When people tap into us, when people bite into us, whether good or bad, they say something evil to us, meaning them, they ought to feel, you know what? They ought to taste that. We are a good tree. We're not a lemon, but we are a good, you know, we're good. We're a good fruit. So regardless of what they say to us, regardless of, you know, how they bite into us, for good or for evil, they ought to taste the goodness of God in us. And what I mean by that, when somebody says something negative to us, we don't always like it. I'm be the first one to admit, I'm still growing there. But sometimes you say something bad to me, it's like, okay, I got you. You know? And we want to respond out of our anger. But that's not, we got to understand that when we respond out of our anger, it's the devil's trick to keep us what? As we said last week, out of the presence of God, out of His glory. Our main purpose is to be in the glory of God. Our main desire should be in the glory of God. So that means that somebody comes to you, Adam, and says, man, you know what? You know, I can't stand you, man. You know, I think you look funny. I don't like your glasses, Four Eyes. What are you going to say? No. Stop, Micah. No. Instead of saying something negatively, you say, you know what, man? God bless you. You know what? That's okay. You don't like my glasses? I thank God I can see. Now, will it take some time to get there? You know? Because I know Micah may say something smart. See? But we have to learn how to let God guide our tongue. Because as I said last week, it is the enemy's desire to get us out of the presence of God. Why? Because being in God's presence, Micah, can get us what we need. Makai. Oh, Lord Jesus. I get it right. You know? So, can you imagine if all of us come together in the house of God or when we come to worship, each one of us is consciously aware that we are carrying the glory of God? If each one of us in here came in this place aware that, you know what, I'm power packed with the glory of God, man. I'm bad. I'm awesome in God. I'm dominating. I'm on the winning side. You know, there's power within me because the glory of God lives within me. Can you imagine if each one of us are really consciously aware that that is true, and we are not only true, we are operating in the power of God? Can you imagine what explosiveness that we can have in worship service? If somebody come here blind or somebody come here sick, oh, man, no, the glory of God is in me. Let's pray for them. Let's, you know. Can you imagine that? Or when there's something going on in your life that, like you said, there's a need in somebody else's life, hey, come on, let's gather together and pray. I believe God's going to give Micah that job. And so we grab together and we hold hands, or we just say, God, I believe, I touch and agree with my sister that job is hers tomorrow. She's going to get a call, you know, that from the places that she, and she's going to have a choice from the places that she's been applying, and she's not only going to have one choice, she's going to have many choices, and she's going to be able to take the best job that suits her. See, because as the children of God, we should be leading the way. We should be showing others what it really means to live a successful life, because the glory of God abides in us. If each one of us consciously is aware that he is carrying the presence of God, can you imagine the explosion that would take place every time we get together? This is like putting all these sticks of dynamite together and lighting them at one time. You bring down the house. You ever heard that song? Burning down the house. Y'all may not have heard that. Y'all too young. I'm sorry. But you got to understand that as an individual, you can. If you're carrying the glory of God, you're tougher than what you think, young man. You're stronger than what you think, you know, and you got to understand that. And then not only is the glory of God to make you strong, but it also makes you wise. It does. It can help you understand some things that you didn't think you can understand. See, that's the glory of God. The glory of God operates in us at our level. Okay? For me, it may be to do ministry. For you, it could be just to go to finish school. You know, for you, for someone else, it could be just, I need strength to finish this job. To be a witness on my job and not say something smart to my boss. But to be a witness. Okay? So the glory of God operates in us differently. Just like the grade levels that we're in. You got different ones than your brothers and sisters, right, Makai? Well, yeah, because what grade are you in? You're in sixth, okay? But Adam, you're in what grade? Ninth? So Adam's doing different grade work than you are. So what you may understand is not what he may understand, you may not understand because he's on a different level. But the glory of God can still work in you to help you get done what you need to get done in your life. Same thing with Adam. Adam may be facing different obstacles and different pressures and different work that you are facing because he's no longer in sixth grade, but he's in ninth grade. So it's different things that he's dealing with on his level, but the glory of God is there to help him make him successful. Same thing with Micah. Micah now is out of school. And is that not yet? Yeah, one more year? Okay. So this is your last year, so now you're going to be working and getting ready to graduate, so you got to focus on graduation. So there's a lot of things that you need on that level. And Brittany, you know, and Brittany, you're working, and, you know, you got roommate situations and all of that stuff, so you need the glory of God to help you on that. So everybody's life is different, but the glory of God is there to make our lives successful and beneficial so that people can see that the God that we serve is awesome, that we're living a splendid, magnificent life. You know, it's not just about coming to Bible study or coming to church on Sunday morning, but it's about really living a fulfilled life. Jesus said in his word, I come that you might have life and what? Life more abundantly. So the glory of God helps us live the abundant life. You know, what do we mean by that, abundantly? Anybody want to explain? Or try to explain, what does it mean by abundantly? The most or more, what else? That's good. What does abundant mean? Adam? Micah, what does abundantly mean? What were we just saying? I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Better? Micah? Makai? Jesus. Adam, somebody give me what abundantly means. I love it. To the fullest. That's good. So Jesus is saying, I come that you might have life and life more better and living it to the fullest. Okay? That's a good example. Living it to the fullest. I come that you might have life and life to live to the fullest. So how many of you can really say that you're living your life to the fullest? You living your life to the fullest? Okay. Are you happy with everything? Is it abundant? Or can you stand to have some more? Like you just said, you can deal with a job. You can have a job.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's room for more. There's room for better. I like that what you said, better. Because God comes that Christ has come that we can have a better life. There's always room for improvement. And we can obtain that improvement. We can reach that improvement through the glory of God. But we have to pursue it. We have to run after. We have to chase after. You know how it is, Adam? You like when you have that person on your mind that you like? You think you're Mac Daddy? You know? You think you're fine in two quarters? You know? And you see that person that you like, and you want to talk to them. You know, you pursue after them. You whisper. You know, what's up, man? I mean, what's up, baby? You know, all that stuff. No, I'm joking. You know, you want to give your best line. you want to be your best when you see them. So it's mean pursuing. You pursue after that person. You know, or even in sports. What sports you play in school? Basketball. Basketball, football, okay. And you play basketball? So if you want to be on a basketball team, that means you have to do what? Work hard to make the team, right? That means you're pursuing that, okay? Now, the great thing about that, as a Christian, and you say, God, I want to play basketball. Is that your will for my life? If it is, give me the strength to be the best. I just don't want to be on the bench. I want to be a starter. That means you got to work hard at it. And the Lord will give you strength to do that, if that is his will for your life. See, that's the most important thing. We have to understand, first of all, what is the will of God for our life? And we pursue that will. And there's nothing wrong with playing basketball. There's nothing wrong with playing football. There's nothing wrong with playing baseball, whatever sports there is. But the Lord may have something else and better for us to do. So that's why it's always important that we seek his will. Because while we may think that, hey, I love basketball, God may be trying to make us do something greater that's going to impact the world more than just being a basketball player. And basketball player is good. NBA is good. I'm rooting for LeBron James. Thank you once again. Chicago Bulls. I'm rooting. What? No, not Chicago Bulls. What's LeBron's team? I mean,
Cavaliers.
I said Chicago Bulls. Oh, who said the Lakers? I meant to say the Cavaliers, not Chicago Bulls. I wish the Chicago Bulls that win.
You said the Bulls, that's worse.
I wanted them to win, but you know. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. Oh, you can reach your mic. But when we have the glory of God in our lives, as I say, can you imagine the explosion that can happen when we all understand or we're all walking in the very presence of God at the same time? And we come into this place to worship, or we come together to learn and understand that, hey, the God in me is about to explode. I mean, really, what a great time we'll have. First of all, we got to dismantle the mindset that God has anointed only one person in the church who has the ability to flow under the awesome anointing of God's power. In other words, we got to realize God just didn't anoint the pastor or the leader of the church. He's anointing all of us. But we have to pursue after that. God does not operate like that. I mean, he doesn't want just one person to have the anointing. Now, God is a God of order. He is. And he rarely talks to the crowd. However, he will choose a leader or a person of the group to be the leader. And that is one who would give direction and instruction. God speaks to the leaders, and then he sends them back to the people to deliver the instructions. Every believer, however, is charged with the responsibility of carrying the glory of God. Okay? So that just because there's a leader that we listen to doesn't mean that that leader is the only one that can carry the glory of God. Just like today, like tonight, I'm teaching the Bible study lesson. And I'm teaching about carrying the glory of God. But that doesn't mean that I'm the only one that can carry it. God desires for us as his sons and daughters, which is what a Christian is. A Christian is what being what? Christ-like. Living a Christ-like life. And what do we say? To the fullest. Isn't that what Jesus said? I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So if we're going to live like Christ, that means we got to live the life of Christ to the fullest. And then if we want to live the life of Christ, we've got to understand what Christ did. He healed the sick, you know. He did a lot of miraculous work, did he not? Okay? So he's already did it. He's already paved the way of salvation. So thank God that we don't have to lay down our life for somebody else's salvation, because Christ already did that. But we do now have the authority. We have the right to live our life to the fullest like Christ lived. But we do that through pursuing the glory of God. Because Jesus had the glory of God in his life. And how did he have the glory? Because he did exactly what God told him to do. Jesus said, I do nothing except what my Father tells me to do. I don't say nothing except what my Father tells me to say. I don't go nowhere except where my Father tells me to go. Because he was in total obedience. I think we talked about this last week. Being obedient. That is one way to have the glory of God in our lives, is being obedient to the Holy Spirit, being obedient to our Heavenly Father. Disobedience, you better believe, is a sure thing to get you out of the glory of God. because the glory of God does not dwell in our disobedience. He wants us to be obedient to God. Okay? When we are obedient to God, we can reap the benefits of His glory. When we walk the way that God wants us to walk, when we talk the way that God wants us to talk, when we do the things that our Heavenly Father wants us to do, regardless of who other people may agree with us or other people may not understand at that time, but when we do those things that our Heavenly Father has instructed for us to do, then we can reap the benefits of having the glory of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. What time is it, someone? Okay, we got a couple more minutes. Okay. Your body, our body, is designed to be the temple of the living God. This body right here. Micah with all her braids, Brittany with all her long hair, Adam with all his twists. Stop. He is twisting, he is growing his hair to twist his hair, so leave him alone. And Micah with his afro. But he's getting it. So we are, and me with my hair. But we are designed to carry our bodies. We are designed to carry the glory of God. Each of you, no matter how old you are, no matter how old or how young that you may be, God designed you to carry His glory. He wants you to be a light to the world. We know the scriptures: "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that what cannot be hid." So God wants you to be the light, but you cannot be the light without His glory. Amen. Your body is designed to be the temple of the living God. The abiding place of His presence qualifies you as a carrier of God's glory. When you fully embrace that divine mandate, your perspective on things of God, His power, authority, presence, and glory will change. In other words, when you really begin to embrace, who wants to explain the word embrace?
Celebrate.
No, not celebrate, embrace.
Show off.
No. If I embrace you, what does that mean? If I come and embrace you, it means if I gave you a hug, I took you in, yeah, that's what that means. I came close to you. If I embrace your presence, that means you're right up close to me. I wrapped you in my arms. You know how some people give us a tight squeeze? We call it a bear hug. You know, we need to ask Jesus to, what'd you say? Old people hug you. they hug you real tight. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to hug us real tight, to embrace us, to hold us, to mold us and shape us. You know, that's what embracing means. So when we really digest this, when we really take this in, embracing something means you're taking it in. You're taking something into your arms. You're taking something into your heart. Taking something with into your spirit. When we really embrace that the glory of God is ours and we really take it in and we really begin to operate in it, we will see a significant change in our lives. Why? Because to have the presence and the glory, to have the presence, which is the glory of God, we are walking miracles. We make things happen. The glory of God makes things happen in our lives, through our lives. You know? For instance, we remember the story about Peter. Peter's very shadow did what? It healed a person. He walked past them, and the Bible says his shadow is read in the book of Acts, that his shadow healed a person. His very shadow. When his shadow, he walked past them, the shadow cast, you know how shadows, somebody's shadow may pass you? His very shadow healed a person that was sick. That's because the glory of God, he was so much walking and embracing the glory of God. The glory of God was operating through him so strongly that even his shadow obeyed. He didn't even touch the man. But the man got healed by abiding in the shadow of Peter. How would you feel? I mean, wouldn't that be miraculous to do? That your very shadow? Somebody walked past your shadow, they're like, man, there's something powerful about you. You know, you walk past a blind person, Adam, and all of a sudden they become seen. Because the glory of God is in you. But see, that comes when we really draw close to God and we obey Him. And God may send you someplace and say, look, I want you to just do this. And when we obey him, Micah, we got to obey him. We got to draw close to him. We got to draw close to him. And when we do, the glory of God can work things out for our lives, whether that's a job that we need, whether that's a healing, whether that's an understanding that we need in school. I'm telling you, just try it. Makai, just try it. Brittany, Adam, just try it. While you're in school or on your job, something may happen on your job that you may not quite understand, but you know, okay, God, I need your glory. I need you to give me understanding. And all of a sudden, you got that understanding. All of a sudden, you're able to solve that problem. Somebody, and you don't have to cheat. You know how it was in school? You're copying off somebody else's paper because we don't really understand it. What's your answer? I didn't get that. I've done that a lot of times. But then I finally realized I can be just as smart. You know, because oftentimes we want to sit behind the smartest person so we can see what their answers is. But we can be the smartest person. The glory of God wants us to live our life to the fullest. Amen? That's what the glory of God is. Christ wants us to live our life. He said, I come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. I like that, Adam. Life to the fullest. That you experience life to the fullest. Amen? Amen. What time is it? I think we're about to close. 8:26. Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? So far. You got a question? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But like, you know, Facebook, when I'm on there, I just feel like I'm very far away from God.
Say it again, Facebook and what? Instagram? You feel like, okay, you got to speak a little louder so everybody can hear you. You said when you're in church or when you're around Christian people, you feel closer to God.
Yes.
But when you're on Facebook and Instagram, it feels like you're away from God. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah. Or like sometimes when I talk to God and I ask him for clarification, I don't hear him.
Hear God in your private time? Whoa.
How do you get closer to that way?
Simply keep doing what you're doing.
Praying.
Keep praying, keep reading the Word of God, keep studying. And see, things are happening to you that making you aware that, you know what, Facebook right now, or it could be not Facebook in itself, but maybe the people that's on your Facebook, maybe the conversations that you're having on Facebook, you know, the things that they're showing on Facebook, this is not so much of God. This is taking away my attention in the negative. So let me, you know, erase that or get rid of that person because that's where they are. Because now your desire, see, that's a good thing. You have a desire, and you're feeling the difference. When I'm in church, I feel more stronger and powerful. When I'm online with these individuals, I feel like so far away. That's a good sign, and you got to recognize that. So you got to make the adjustment. God is not going to make the adjustments for you. He's going to nudge you like you're doing, and that's now you're saying, okay, this is not drawing me closer. So you make the adjustment. You have to make the adjustment. But now you have to say, okay, I need to get more Christian people on my Facebook page, get rid of some of all this other junk that's on here, get rid of some of these conversations, because I want to be closer to God. And as I said, the glory of God will bring a change in your life, because it doesn't stand, it doesn't like to be in the presence of ungodliness. It doesn't like, and it does, it changes us, it changes our friendship, it does, it changes our relationship. That's what it's all about. But you're going to feel more better about yourself. And if you don't, about growing in God. Because if you don't do it, you'll stay in the same place. And matter of fact, you're going to diminish. Because you're not growing. Anything that's not growing is diminishing. You know, staying in the same place sometimes. Even if you don't run your car, and like just say, you know, during a cold winter, which we don't have, thank you, Jesus, here a lot of times here in Florida. But there's a lot of places across the country, across the United States, they have very cold winters. And even though their car is sitting and they can't go outside and go driving, they tell them to go outside and at least turn their car on and let it get gas flowing through it. Because if you don't, sooner or later, because all of that coldness is going to drain your battery, even though it's just sitting there not doing nothing. But it's the same way. If you continue to stay around ungodly people or people who are not growing in Christ. You may not be participating in all that they're doing, but if you continue to stay around them and you're not growing, pretty soon your battery's going to die. You know, so that's why it's important that you keep turning on your engine. Keep coming to church. Keep praying. Keep making the necessary adjustments so you can grow. Because if you sit still and don't do nothing to grow in God, even if it's just praying and reading your scriptures, you know, learning more about God, you know, searching the internet for godly things and to explain his word on this, that, and the other, if you don't do that, you're going to diminish. Well, see, your prayers are being answered because you know who. But see, it's nobody. It's you that is allowing it. So now God is attesting. Well, sometimes it's your faith is works without what? Faith without works is what? So you just prayed a prayer that now demands work. You say, God, I don't want nobody to come in between me. Okay, God's okay. So now he allows some things to come to see if you're really going to allow that. If you're really going to walk in that. And so when somebody drives in front of you, you know, bless Jesus at all times. Somebody flips you off or beats your horn, you know what, Lord, I love you. And you turn on the Christian music, you know, and keep your mind. And say, you know what, I'm not going to allow. Because sometimes it's not that person. There's somebody that could be just in a hurry as you are, you know. And so you have to figure, okay, let me enter. So in order for me not to experience that, let me leave a little bit earlier so I can not be in such a rush. I can take my time and get there. Even if somebody's in a rush, I can just stop and say, God bless them and protect them. And sometimes that takes strength. I mean, that takes some maturing. Because usually the normal person, when somebody cuts them off, you know what? You crazy driver. And other stuff flows out of our mouth. But it takes strength and maturity, and it does ourselves good when we say, you know what? God bless them. They're such in a hurry. Protect them from the foolishness of their driving. And then you go on. See, that's growth. And next thing you know, you're growing. And them driving crazy doesn't affect you. It just calls you to pray more.
But if you see way worse at the road rage and not so much now, that means you're growing.
That means you're growing. So you keep praying it. Them tests keep coming till it won't bother you no more. And one day you'll be looking back, that used to bother me, you know, but now it doesn't. So the prayers are working. It's just like, you know, when people say, well, I want to go to the gym and get stronger. But when they go to the gym and they lift up the weight, oh, that hurts. Well, I can't do it. But you got to keep lifting it, and sooner or later the pain will go away. You're like, oh, I got muscle. It's the same thing when you pray that prayer. God is growing you, so he's hearing you. You know, that's a good thing, he's hearing you. So now, if you put what we talked about today into practice, the glory of God surround me with the glory. And don't let nobody else. I'm not going to let my peace be destroyed because it's not anybody else, it's you. You don't give power to anybody else. Don't give power to the devil. Say, Lord, guide my tongue, guide my thoughts, so I don't let it disrupt me from you. Because other people are going to do what they're going to do. You know, and sometimes when we pray that prayer, we expect God to have a traffic full of innocent people, everybody driving at the same pace, nobody disrupting nobody. But that's not going to happen. But even though that may not happen, what should happen with us, even though they're acting crazy, our mind is still at peace. Because you're saying, God, and I challenge you to change your prayers. I'm not going to let anybody come between. No, God, keep my mind. Don't worry about anybody else. God, let me keep my mind on you regardless of what happens throughout the day. Help my mind stay on you. Help my mind have a peace. Let my spirit have a peace that abides within me. What time is it? Oh, so they probably already clicked on off.
Yeah.